Hey everybody, welcome to Coop's Corner Podcast. My name is Coop the Comedian. Well, that's not actually my real name, but I am Coop the Comedian. And thank you so much for tuning into this special edition of Coop's Corner Podcast. Now, when I say special edition, this is not an ordinary podcast episode. This is an interview that I was on CHUO.FM, which is University of Ottawa down here in Ottawa, Ontario, and I was lucky enough to be interviewed by a wonderful man, Latin Train Radio from Twitter. He's one of the hosts of the Latin Train on CHUO, and he invited me to be a special guest on his radio show live on the air. So I got to talk live in front of all the listeners that tuned into the university radio station channel, and people got to hear their hometown boy, Coop the Comedian, finally back home. And this is the interview that we had on the Latin Train. And I welcome you all to sit back, relax, and get to know a little bit more about who Coop the Comedian is. So here it is, the Latin Train.
At the start of tonight's edition of the Latin Train, we have a special guest here. Not too often we have people in the studio or on the phone, let alone somebody who's not in the Afro-Cuban music field. But one of my other passions, just as a fan, I've never performed it myself, is comedy. And it's a great pleasure to have here tonight Mr. Cooper Harrison, better known as Coop the Comedian. Coop, once again, many thanks for joining us here tonight at CHUO Radio and on the Latin Train.
And thank you for having me as a guest on your show tonight.
Now, you're no stranger to the Ottawa area. In fact, you are actually a local boy, born and bred, aren't you?
Yeah, born and raised here in Ottawa until I moved away to high school in Fredericton, New Brunswick for about 4 to 5 years, then moved back to attend a college here in Ottawa, Algonquin College, and now I'm living out in British Columbia.
And were you studying communications at Algonquin?
Yeah, broadcast and television. I was taking that for 2 years.
Did that was that the beginnings of that sparked your interest in comedy or in the arts in general?
I didn't actually take an interest in actual comedy, and actually maybe about 3 years ago was actually when I actually started pursuing comedy. The broadcasting thing I've been doing since I was almost 15 years old, volunteering with Rogers Television in Fredericton, New Brunswick. I've always had a passion for just production and making shows, and the comedy stuff actually just came as sort of like another hobby of mine where I enjoy making people laugh. And so at the age of 22, I was looking at my life and I was thinking I need a career change. And then from that day, I became Coop the Comedian, and I've been rolling with that ever since.
And what sparked the move to BC then?
The move to BC was a personal decision that I had to change my lifestyle choices that I was in. I was unhappy with my lifestyle. I was here in Ottawa. I wanted to make some life changes, so I decided to move to British Columbia, and that's where I got to meet my father's side of the family for the very first time in my life. So I got to actually sit down and actually get to know my father's side. So that was a personal decision of me going to BC, and there was other opportunities in BC, like film. There's tons of filming going on right now in Vancouver, so I just love British Columbia, and I love being back here in Ottawa. It's good to be home.
You're in a rather small-ish town, I think, Hope, British Columbia, sort of the interior, I guess. But what sort of opportunities in terms of comedy do you find there? I think you mentioned before that it's smaller venues, like they might have a comedy night at a bowling alley or something. So do you have to, if you want to see other comics or think of opportunities for yourself, do you have to move on to a larger center like Vancouver?
I'm lucky enough that I'm near a town called Abbotsford, which is about an hour and a half away from Vancouver, and they Yuck Yucks actually has a couple of comedy clubs out there. They're actually opening another one in Victoria. They've got almost 3 comedy clubs in British Columbia. So I've been going to the Abbotsford one out there for the amateur nights, and they have a great staff, and they're in a hotel, so I actually rent a room there, stay overnight, and I actually just get to stay overnight in Abbotsford. It's a great location, and I'm looking forward to actually seeing the Victoria location as well. But the small town I'm in, it's very small for opportunities, and yeah, I have to go out, and I actually have to try and find other bigger comedy clubs to try and make a bigger presence.
The fact that there's a certain degree of isolation and hope, then, is that what spurred you on to the podcasting side of your career? Because you don't necessarily need a large urban center to, you can do that out of your living room or a basement, or I think you have a shed set up now, don't you, for your podcast?
Coop's Corner has basically been rolling for 7 years. People that don't know the history of my podcast, I started actually as a project at Algonquin College, where I did it as a sports show for my classroom for a project. And then from there, I decided that I wanted to try and do my own radio show. So I took it to this website called Blog Talk Radio, where a lot of podcasters would probably know it. I did my podcast there for a few years, and then I decided to move on from there, a website called Spreaker. Wasn't too happy with Spreaker, and then I found a wonderful website called Podomatic, a wonderful staff, and I've been there for almost like 3 years with them, and they've got a great bunch of people at Podomatic, and I've been rolling with my podcast there since, and I love doing my podcast. It really is so enjoyable just to sit down and, you know, just talk.
And it's not strictly comedy, is it? I know you deal with sports as well on the podcast. And what other topics do you touch upon?
My main thing is I like to read weird news. There's always weird news that happens everywhere around the world. So my kind of thing, what I'm trying to do with Coop's Corner, is get people together, like comedians, sit down, and we can all like just be in chairs around, just, you know, grab a couple of brewskis and join the news. What's going on with weird news? Tell some jokes about what's going on with the celebrities going on right now. And then I just throw everything in the mix from if I want to bring on guests, from if it's like a chef or if it's a singer, if it's a comedian. I'm always trying to do something different for the show, because, you know, you always got to, you know, change things up to make people active, and your listeners got to keep entertained. But I really enjoy doing it, and the main thing about me is I love laughing. So I love making people laugh on the podcast. I love, you know, I've been working on my stand up now ever since the beginning of the year with a wonderful coach, and I can't be more happy with the situation where I am in, doing a podcast for 7 years, and at the age of 26, I'm so humbled to be having so many supporters around me.
And do you, again, because of the degree of isolation, you maybe it's a bit of a silly question, but do you ever have live guests in your home studio there, or is it mostly just by Skype that you have invited people there?
Sometimes I have live guests. I mean, like, I brought the show to the Just for Laughs Festival. That was probably one of my biggest accomplishments, where I got to meet a couple of comedians there. Wonderful guy that I've met, Angelo Sarukis, who's actually coming to town here.
In August, I believe, yes.
Yeah, he's actually in town June 9th, actually. He's celebrity boxing going on here. So he's a wonderful guy that I met Just for Laughs, and I got to sit down and interview with him. And if any of the listeners out there want to check out the interview, you're more than welcome to. It was a wonderful interview and a great experience, just like what we're doing right now with you and me. I was so nervous about interviewing this guy, because I don't know much about the industry at the time, and he was so humbled for me to interview him, and he's a great guy. So I really suggest that everybody go check him out when he's in town.
If I'm not mistaken, he was on Last Comic Standing last year.
Yeah, he was on the recent Last Comic Standing.
Yeah. So the podcast is mobile to a certain degree, mm-hmm. but another, you mentioned that you began classes, I guess it was in January of this year, with Aaron Haber at worldcomedy.club, which is a school of sorts of his that he's created in Los Angeles. Tell us a little bit about your experiences with Aaron, how you got to become familiar with him and his classes, and some of the process that's involved in creating the fabled tight six, as they call it, your 6 to 8 minutes that, mm-hmm. that form a traditional set.
Oh, I was really struggling with coming up with a good stand-up act for ever since I started doing stand-up. My act was pretty bad, so I thought it was time for a change and get some assistance, because I'm a very stubborn person, and sometimes you just need to go get assistance. Those stubborn people don't want to, but you have to. So I went out and I made the decision to go find Aaron Haber on Periscope, and he started class in January, and I was a student of his. I took his classes for 12 weeks, and he taught me a lot about doing stand-up and writing comedy, things that I didn't even know about the industry. He's been around for almost 20 to 25 years. He's a fantastic guy. I couldn't be more humbled that he's also the guy that's inspiring me to write a book right now. So thank you very much, Aaron Haber. And what he's taught me is he's taught me to be more respectable when doing stand-up. I didn't understand how hard it is to do stand-up. until like Aaron opened my eyes to how hard it is to be a stand-up comedian. So I really appreciate, and I'm very humbled for everybody's assistance that they give me throughout my comedy career.
And we should mention that you can follow Aaron on Twitter as well. It's at Aaron Haber. That's AaronHaber. And his website, again, is worldcomedy.club. Aaron at worldcomedy.club for more information if you want to sign up. I mean, with the Canadian dollar as it is, it's not cheap, obviously, for us here in this country. But if you want a professional's input into your writing process, then that might be something to investigate. You mentioned Periscope as well. That's something fairly recent for us because it's only been around for a bit over a year, I guess. So yeah. Tell us how Periscope has... I mean, I discovered you through Periscope. I probably wouldn't have found out about you otherwise. So tell us how Periscope has reshaped your approach to your podcast and possibly to your stand-up as well.
Oh, absolutely. No, Periscope really changed the way that, you know, like my audience has tripled ever since Periscope came out last year. I came across Periscope actually from a buddy of mine named Jeff Stevens, who is actually a former employee at Comedy Central, and he's a social media expert. And I met him through the social media sites that they run, and we became good buddies. And he actually was doing these Periscopes. I didn't understand what it was, and I checked it out, and then I signed up for it. And then all of a sudden, I started like doing broadcasts. All these people around the world are coming in. There's like 30, 50 people that are actually listening to what I actually have to say for once. And this is something I love doing, just being in front of a camera, talking to a bunch of people and have a good time. So Periscope has entirely changed my audience. My numbers have tripled ever since the Parafam has joined me in my journey to be a comedian. So Periscope is a wonderful app for anybody that wants to, you know, make a presence for live video footage.
We should mention as well, too, that one of the unique aspects of that particular application is that people can write in comments live, responding to what they're seeing on screen. Unlike your podcast, where you're doing it, recording it, and then presenting it to people afterwards, this is like a very unique in-the-moment process of like interchange, I guess, between comedian or podcaster and the audience.
Yeah, I love doing my podcast actually live on Periscope too, so people actually see the amount of effort that goes into putting podcasts or radio shows like you're doing, like yourself. I love showing people behind the scenes. And actually, I've been checking out this other app called Busker, where actually you can broadcast and people actually can like give you tips, aka donations, if you're doing a good job. So I might be starting to use that app more if people want to check out this Busker app.
So we're speaking tonight with Cooper Harrison from both Ottawa and Hope, British Columbia. He's in town for a couple of months, checking out the local comedy scene and visiting with friends. You can follow him at Verified Coop and at Coop's Podcast for more information about. And what's your web? Coopscorner.info, is that the website?
Coopscorner.info. A big shout out to my sponsors, who actually are the only people that I've met that actually joined my website. And they randomly created the website for me, and I was so humble for them. So it's a wonderful website by Icon Solutions Group.
Coop's comedian is with us here tonight on The Latin Train and at CHUO 89.1 FM. We're going to continue on with a bit more music now to give us a pause to reflect. And don't forget, at Verified Coop is his Twitter handle. And you can join in with the live tweeting here at Latin Train Radio and at CHUO Music to discover what kind of music we're playing. This is a weekly Afro-Cuban music show, 8 to 10 p.m., the best in Latin jazz, salsa, timba, and Cuban son with DJ Maikito. We'll be back with Coop the Comedian after this musical interlude. Stay tuned now, 89.1 FM, around the world at www.chuo.fm. And we're back here in the Latin Train with Coop the Comedian from Hope, British Columbia, here in Ottawa, his the stomping grounds of his childhood, to reconnect with fans and friends. And speaking of connections, I got a chance to meet Coop for the first time, person to person, this past Wednesday at Yuck Yucks Ottawa on Elgin Street. And Coop was there to check out the open mic scene here in Ottawa, and highly recommend that particular comedy club. For those who have an interest in becoming stand-ups themselves, you'll have to start at the bottom rung, of course, and work your way up. Open mics are the best way because there's less pressure on you. And I want to get your take, too, Coop, on some of the guys you saw that night. I was very impressed by the one young lad. I think they mentioned it was his first time ever doing stand-up. And it was just neat to see. I mean, you had to feel for the guy because he was stumbling at times, but you have to feel for the people who are putting themselves on the line like that, because it takes a lot of guts to get up there and you're not always sure of your material and all that. So did that bring back memories for you in terms of first starting out stand-up, and what did you think of that night and some of the comics you saw?
Absolutely. James was actually the comedian that was doing his very first stand-up, and he was actually a classmate of mine in broadcast in Algonquin College. So it was I was very fortunate that I was actually at the right place at the right time to see his very first stand-up. And let me tell you right now, it's incredibly gutsy, incredibly brave to go on a stage in front of people and tell people what's on your mind, make people laugh. It's incredibly difficult because you don't know what the reaction is going to be. It could be good, it could be bad, it could be positive, negative, it could be anything. It's probably the same thing. But for me, we had a similar experience when I did my first set at Yuck Yucks in Vancouver. I had 2 months to prepare for my first set when I went to when I moved out at West, and I messaged Yuck Yucks saying that I wanted to do my first set, and so they wrote me back saying, all right, you have 2 months to get ready for your set. And so I practiced every day by myself my set over and over and over again. And when I went on stage that moment, it was amazing. We had all sorts of mixed reactions that night. I did like a little bit of improv. I did my jokes that I created. Some of them didn't go too well. There was one that actually went pretty well that I was actually pretty surprised at. And I just got everything that first night out of me. And after that first night, this is something I knew I wanted to do for a long time. And it was incredibly brave for James to go up there on stage and do his very first set. And for any comedian that wants to do a stand-up set for the very first time, I highly recommend it.
I would say that's one of the impressions I took away from that night too. Again, as somebody who's never had any experience with it, is even as an audience member, if you're a little bit sensitive to the situation, you can get an appreciation for how freaking difficult it is to do stand-up. I think people aren't in the business don't necessarily realize it, because what's easier than talking, right? But it's just not that. There's a whole art to it. It's part art, it's part science, it's mostly guts, and it's impossible, even if a comic bombs, I think it's impossible not to recognize the intestinal fortitude it takes to get up there and put yourself on the line like that.
Absolutely, and that's why I had to go get a comedy coach to help me with my set, because I was struggling with writing jokes and making people laugh, and then now I feel like my stand-up act is 3 times improved.
And you've mentioned that you are, when you're in Ottawa this summer, you're going to look into making some contacts with people at the Just for Laughs in Montreal as well. Tell us a little bit about what you hope you might be able to accomplish there, whether you're going to be working as, you know, on the press side, as liaison, what kind of tasks you want to be involved in at the JFL.
Yeah, in 2014 when I went to Just for Laughs, I had to sign up to be part of the press team for my podcast, and they accepted me. So I wanted to do something similar this year, because there's a couple of comedians that I would love to interview this year. And there's actually a special shout-out, Jake Hirsch. I want to give a special shout-out, who runs the Yuck Yucks podcast, the Yuck Yucks comedy podcast. You go check him out. He's an amazing guy. And I've been trying to get a hold of him and his manager in Yuck Yucks, because something a couple of years ago where I got to interview, I'm wondering if they're doing something similar. So I wanted to do like a podcast meetup with them and do like podcast interviews with each other. And there's another comedian that I would love to interview this year. His name's Mark Normand. He's a really funny guy. I love his stand-up. Another comedian that my comedy coach suggested to me. So just another shout-out to Mark Normand. And that's kind of what I was wanted to do this year, is I wanted to go back and be part of the press team so I can help out. And Just for Laughs is just an amazing festival where everybody just comes together. And for me, I just like being around the atmosphere. I like helping out. So for me, I could just be doing a podcast. I could be helping set up, tear down. Just being part of the event is already special enough to me. And of course, the Just for Laughs Festival is maybe the premier comedy event in the world, or very close, certainly North America. We should mention that there's some really big names coming to the festival this summer. People like Jim Gaffigan, Carrie Fisher of Star Wars fame is going to be at a special gala as well. Ottawa's own Tom Green will be doing his live show. One of my favorites, Nikki Glaser from the show Not Safe on Comedy Central. She's going to be at an all-access show hosted by Nikki. Lewis Black will be there as well.
I love my Lewis Black. He's my father's favorite actor.
Really?
Or not actor, but, well, I guess he's also an actor in his own way, but he's a really funny guy. I love Lewis Black.
He's also best friends with the comic Kathleen Madigan as well. They often tour together.
Mm-hmm. And a very special surprise for this one, P.K. Subban is actually hosting a gala
really?
This year.
From the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, the Montreal Canadiens himself is hosting a gala.
Wow. And for more information, you just have to log on to hahaha.com, and that will give you the whole lineup for the Just for Laughs Festival in Montreal this coming summer. We're speaking tonight with Coop the comedian from British Columbia, and he's talking to us about his career as a burgeoning stand-up, as well as a now long-time podcaster with several years under his belt. He'll be back shortly. We're going to have another musical interlude here on the Latin Train at 89.1 FM. Don't forget that you can hear us around the world at www.chuo.fm. Write me latintrain@yahoo.com after the show, and I can send you out the archive link as well if you'd like to re-listen to the broadcast or share Coop's interview with any family and friends who are interested in the comedy. Let's continue on now. And I just realized I don't have a music picked out, but we're going to continue on now with another one of my favorite salseros from Panama, although he's lived in Paris, France for a while now, Camilo Azuquita, from his CD Lo Bailado, Nadie Me Lo Quita. We're going to hear now the track Antes Que Alguien Te Lo Diga, the best in Latin jazz, salsa, timba, and Cuban son, Saturdays from 8 to 10 p.m. at 89.1 FM, around the world at www.chuo.fm. This is the Latin Train. And we're back here on the Latin Train, and our special guest tonight is Cooper Harrison, Coop the comedian, who just reminded me that we've been here a while. I should have mentioned at the start of the show that June 7th will actually be the 19th anniversary of the Latin Train on the air. And it's been a great run for us here at CHUO. And don't forget that community radio is where you can hear more of a niche music style, like Afro-Cuban music. You're not going to get this on commercial stations. And it's thanks to the generosity of the staff and the supporters of CHUO that the Latin Train has been able to be on the air now for just a few days short of 19 years. And our special guest is at Verified Coop, at Coop's Podcast, Cooper Harrison, from Ottawa and from British Columbia, who is in town for a couple of months this summer to reconnect with friends and family and investigate opportunities for comedy both in Ottawa and in Montreal. And one of Cooper's very best friends should be listening tonight. I think her name is Caitlin Drummond of Caitlin Drummond Photography. And she's a longtime supporter of his. And I'll let Coop tell you a little bit about her as a photographer and how much she's helped him the past couple of years with his career.
Sure. I mean, like, she was there when day one when I wanted to start doing this comedy career thing. So I've known Caitlin through one of my best friends. I've known him basically almost my whole life. And I've known her for almost 6 years now. And she's been taking all these amazing photos. And so when I started my comedy career, I just thought of getting a cover photo. I think everybody needs good cover photos to get more attention because people don't really look at like pixelated stuff and stuff like that. But she was a wonderful photographer, and we just started sitting down, we started taking pictures, and then we have this most legendary picture, that the black and white plaid one with the microphone around wrapped my face. That's probably one of the most legendary pictures that people know me from, and she's the one that took that picture. And then
that's at Verified Coop, is it?
Yeah, at Verified Coop is right. My Twitter handle. If anybody wants to, you know, follow my jokes or anything like that, or give me a shout. But Caitlin just uses her imagination. I just let her do her photography skills, and a couple of times a year, I like to upgrade my cover photos for make it look more professional. because everybody changes their appearance every now and then. So I come down here.
Some of us gain a little weight too.
Yeah. I love being jolly. I used to be a really skinny dude. Like I used to be like 140 pounds. Now I'm like 225. Very comfortable with that. But yeah, she sits down and she likes uses her imagination. I just do what I'm told as a model, basically. Just as she has something visioning in her mind where she wants to take a photo, I'll just be there and get it done. And yeah, so anytime I want photos done to her, I go to her. She puts a lot of effort in them. She does wedding photos too, so she wants to do really hard with this photography business that she's been starting up. And I couldn't be more appreciated with all the amazing photos that she's taken. All of my fans love the photos that she does, and hopefully I it's more of a collaboration where I can help other people get known.
And I believe that she was a photography student at Algonquin, and you can maybe find out a little bit more information about her. Caitlin Drummond, that's C-A-I-T-L-I-N, Caitlin Drummond Photography.blogspot.ca, and perhaps a more recent source might be Kate Drummond, C-A-I-T, at Kate Drummond on Twitter, as well as her Instagram account, which is Kate Drum, C-A-I-T-D-R-U-M. So congratulations to Caitlin Drummond and her getting off the ground with her burgeoning photography career, and I'm sure that Coops fans are grateful to her for the very generous assistance that she's given to him over the past few years with his own photography needs as well. And I'd like to get Coop to tell us a little bit now about one of his most recent projects. I believe that this was suggested to you by Aaron Haber at in Los Angeles, who was your comedy coach, worldcomedy.club. And he made the suggestion to you that you might want to put your thoughts on paper more concretely. In fact, expand them to the point of writing a book. So you've gotten at least a few chapters in on thoughts in words. And tell us a little bit now about this particular project and what you hope to accomplish with it.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's something that I just started maybe a couple of months ago. But I've wanted to write a book almost for a couple of years now. But my coach actually is the one that actually, like, inspired me to actually, like, you know, get it done. And so about a month and a half, 2 months ago, after I took my comedy classes and they were over with, he sat me down and I told him exactly what I wanted to do in the comedy career. I wanted to travel across and do my podcast and do stand-up and do voiceovers. There's so many things I want to do in this comedy career. But what my comedy coach, Aaron Haber, suggested is only do one thing at a time. So what he suggested for me is to, why don't you write a book? And he notices I do a lot of writing when I want to sit down. I just want to talk. I write a lot of stuff. So I've started writing a book, and I'm just going to start writing stuff down in a book. And even the title is still a work in progress. Thoughts and Words is so far the title that I have for it. It could be changed. I'm just taking it day by day. I'm writing at least like a good 4 pages a day. I try to get at least 4 pages. But hopefully I'll get maybe at like 300, 350 to 500 pages done for this book.
So, is this sort of like a writing exercise, or do you actually have the intention of publishing someday if you're able to?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I intend fully on publishing this book when the time is right, when I get people to look over the book. I want to make sure it's edited properly. I want to make sure everything is correct before I actually like put it out on the shelves for people to get. And most likely, my way of thinking is giving away stuff for free, because, you know, people like free stuff. Like, who doesn't like a free t-shirt in the mail or something like that? So I'm thinking about maybe just giving this book on iBookstore for free when the time is right, so anybody can be able to read it. They can read about my history of what I've been through. And yeah, while I'm writing this book, I also want to get jokes out of these, because while I'm writing this stuff, I'm thinking about ways, if it's funny to me, I'm trying to put it in joke form, and then I try and put it in my act. So at the same time, I'm doing one thing, but I'm also trying to multitask with other things at the same time.
And I noticed some of the parts that I scanned earlier that it's not just comedy, right? You have like even biographical data about your family history and whatnot. And I think there's some recipes in there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And even some
like a recounting of your days in class, of the steps going through to write a joke and whatnot?
Absolutely. I actually saved every week that I was in comedy classes. And I did it purposely because I want to show people the day that I started week one in the comedy class, like a new set that I was starting fresh. And I wanted to see my improvement each week. So I've kept each copy of my stand-up that I performed to the classes each week. And that way people can read about, like, how long it is for me to change my sets and how long it is for me to write. And it's a very difficult process that I actually enjoyed doing, but it is frustrating to write jokes for people.
I would like to ask, I know you don't want to give away any sort of trade secrets from Aaron Haber Comedy or anything, but can you give us non-comedians who don't necessarily appreciate the labor process a kind of a rough idea of what sort of steps are involved from the technical side of writing a joke? I know people talk about, you know, what's the premise of your joke or what's the opener and the closer. Give us a little insight for those of us who've never done this before of what that technical process actually is.
Well, to me, when I start writing a joke, I feel a joke has to be personal to you. So you have to write something that's personal about you. That's what I started doing recently is instead of writing topical humor, that usually I would do for my podcast, which I would just look for recent events and try and make little jokes out of it. And, you know, they'd be all right. Some people would laugh, some people wouldn't. And then I really have to dig into my emotions for me to write some of the personal jokes that I do. Because it's also telling about who you are on stage. Sometimes people play characters on stage, but for me, I wanted to try and make my stand-up very personal so people can get understanding about the person I am. And for me, I could sit down for almost 4 hours just trying to write one simple joke because I'm just trying to like think of something that's funny to me, and then I have to come up with a bunch of other things that are similar to that topic that are also funny.
Yes, again, us non-professionals don't have a clue really that there's that degree of intensity in the labor process involved behind a joke. It's a very technical thing as opposed to just off the top of your head. I don't think people who don't perform, I don't think they necessarily realize that, but it can be a very technical thing sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm. Some people are just naturally gifted and are very witty. Right. So there are people like that in the world. For guys like me, I'm not as witty, so I have to really struggle with trying to do the information properly before I say something on stage. I don't want to say something on stage that's not correct, or else you look pretty dumb. I would probably say that. I say that because it's happened to me on stage. I've went on there and I've said stuff that obviously I thought would be funny that wasn't. But it's just some people have to actually, like myself, I had to hire a coach to get better. Some people are naturally witted or funny in their own ways. And then there are just like the hecklers or the Twitter trolls or the eggs that, you know, they think they're funny, but they're just online bullies, basically. You know, they're just people that want to attack somebody personally every day kind of thing. That's not me. I'm more of a humble person where I just appreciate everything around me. And, you know, if for anybody that thinks that you can't teach comedy, that's not true at all. There are forms of comedy that you have to be taught.
It might be too soon in your career to put yourself in a category like this, but there are different categories of comics. Like you might have a political comedian like Lewis Black, for instance, or an observational comedian like Jerry Seinfeld. Do you think that you would slot yourself into any category, or is it too soon?
I'm more of a one-liner guy. That was one thing when I went to comedy classes with Aaron that he taught me to learn, is I wanted to learn the kind of style, because there all these comics have different kind of styles, and I wanted to learn mine. So I'm more like a one-liner guy, where people know me from social media, where I'll do my Twitter jokes, where I think of stuff usually in less than 140 characters. I'm just thinking about the process right now of just writing and that. Sorry. Go on.
Good. Well, in that vein, then,
do you have, like, say for a political comedian, do you have people you look to? You've mentioned that you are a fan of Lewis Black, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, is there people who strike you as being so interesting that you wish that you want to kind of pursue that vein of comedy as well? Or?
There are role models that I've loved. You know, Dave Chappelle was one of my favorite comedians growing up. But now these days, I've looked at other comedians that my comedy coach suggested. Joe List and Mark Normand are two really funny comedians. Who else would probably put up there as one of my favorites?
I think we've mentioned Angelo Sarukas already.
Angelo Sarukas is a wonderful guy. Kind of a surprise for this one. Rob Van Dam. I'm giving him a shout out because he's also a stand-up comedian, and he was one of my favorite wrestlers of all time growing up. if there's any kind of comedian out there that I could resemble, it'd probably be a Rob Van Dam.
Do you look towards a lot of comedians will kind of venture into acting as well, and a lot of comedians are surprisingly really good dramatic actors too. Even like somebody like Don Rickles, for instance, is a tremendous actor in his day. Do you look at that side of the artistic field as some possibility for you in the future as well?
Absolutely, my mind is open to anything in this industry when it comes to helping out with the industry. I want to, you know, be on camera, off camera. I would love to do voiceovers. That's one thing I've loved doing since I was a kid.
Cartoons, you mean? Or
yeah, I mean, like, it could be a kid's show, it could be an adult version. I love doing all these, you know, impressions when I was a kid, you know.
You do Kermit the Frog and all.
I am Kermit the Frog here. It's not too bad. You know, when I was a kid, I used to do, like, all these commentators for hockey games. I would make the explosions whenever, like, cars blew up in video games or something like that. So I've always wanted to take up voice acting as, like, a side thing for the comedy stuff.
And again, in hope, I would imagine there would not be that much opportunity for that type of work. Unless, I don't know if you're able to record something at home and send it to be evaluated, or would you have to move to Vancouver for that kind of opportunity?
For me, I would probably have to go look at, like, a studio. I would probably have to rent out, like, time at a studio to have it professionally recorded. I'm too poor to afford the equipment. I think most people these days, you know, have to probably, you know, go look for a studio or even a university place in order to record, so... That would be something that I would love to do. If there's one voice or actor out there, Kevin Michael Richardson, who knows me, and he's a wonderful guy. He's actually Cleveland Jr. from the Cleveland Show.
All right.
And he's one of the best voice actors right now working today. He's right now in F is for Family on Netflix. He's in American Dad, where he plays Principal Lewis. And he's an amazing guy too. So if there's somebody that I can probably, like, work with someday in voice acting, I would love to work with Kevin.
We've been speaking tonight with Coop the Comedian from Hope, British Columbia and Ottawa. And don't forget that you can follow him at Verified Coop and at Coop's Podcast on Twitter. And coopscorner.info is the website as well.
That is correct.
We're going to have another musical interlude here and then back with a few closing comments from our interview with Coop the Comedian. Don't forget that every Saturday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. you can listen to the best in Latin jazz, salsa, timba, and Cuban son here on The Latin Train. Todos los sábados de 8 a 10 de la noche, lo mejor de la música afrocubana aquí en CHO 89.1 FM por todo el mundo a través de www.cho.fm. Esto es El Tren Latino. And in the last 15 minutes or so of tonight's broadcast, just a couple more questions here for our special invited guest tonight, Cooper Harrison, Cooper the Comedian. You can follow him on Twitter at Verified Coop and at Coop's Podcast, as well as coopspodcast.info, his website. And Cooper's, like I mentioned earlier in the show, I got to know Cooper through Periscope, which is an app that you can download for, I believe, both Android and iPhone. And it's a live streaming application that allows interaction between the broadcaster and the viewers who can write their comments and follow that way. And I wanted to ask Cooper, who do you find interesting amongst the comics who are on Periscope? I'll mention a couple of my favorites, mostly Los Angeles-based comics, people like Little Esther Pavitsky,
And Brody Stevens is my big guy.
Brody's.
Although he's so prolific, he can sometimes do four or five a day, so it's hard to keep up with him sometimes. But and he's rare amongst comedians. He actually periscopes his sets at the Comedy Store and the Improv in L.A. too. And I like Joey Diaz, of course. I know that's another one of your favorites. But who are some of the others who've influenced you, like Felipe Esparza? Definitely
Felipe Esparza and Rodrigo Torres are two of my favorite guys I met from Periscope. I listen to their podcasts all the time when I have time. What's Up Fool podcast, it's highly recommended that if anybody wants to go listen to a great podcast, those two are terrific. There's a bunch of comedians that I recently met this year, actually, from Periscope that I didn't know. Was periscoping. There's a Robin Schall, who's wonderful comedian, based in New York. We have Josh Robert Thompson, who's very popular on the app. Then there's my coach, Aaron Haber, who's 10 times as funny as me. So I would probably say go recommend that you go follow my coach, Aaron Haber. And if you're interested in taking stand-up classes, go ahead.
WorldComedy.club is his website, and besides just tweeting or just periscoping himself, sometimes he also will feature some of the students in his class on his own Periscope. So is that going to be part of the process for you as one of his students, that at some point you'll be doing your sets on his Periscope?
Yeah, at some point I will be doing my sets on his Periscopes. Right now, he just told me to take some time to write my book, so I decided that I was going to take the summer. That's why I'm out here visiting friends and working on my comedy stuff out here, like my coach suggested, making the connections for the industry and finding places to do my stand-up. But if there's any place that I would love to get noticed, Periscope is, he gets like an average of almost 100 people watching comedians test out their material,
which is almost like being at a comedy club, because some have roughly that capacity. So it's like doing a set in front of a comedy crowd.
Yeah, absolutely. I will be doing that at some point. I have to get settled in. I could probably do it on the road here. I just have to give them a call. But for me, I just wanted to make sure I get my stuff done at the end of July, and then probably August is when you'll see me be able to do like regular sets again.
Some of our favorites, like thinking of Joey Diaz, for instance, it's nothing for him to have maybe 2,000 live viewers and then another 2,000 watching the replay. So we should mention that even though it's a young app, barely a year old, Periscope has really been kind of revolutionary for comedians in terms of taking control of their career, I think, and being able to make that really direct connection with their fans.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It could be for anybody, not just for a comedian. You could be a business influencer, you could be a pizza maker, and you can influence people on Periscope somehow.
Or just a boring old troll. one final question for Cooper Harrison tonight is that your handle, I guess you might, your claim to fame happened in 2015. Tell us a little bit about the being shortlisted for a comedy award.
Yes, I was very humbled to be a finalist for Best Comedian in Social Media at the Shorty Awards. The Shorty Awards are known for the best in social media. They were in their eighth one this year.
It's not just comedy, then, is it?
No, it's all social media. Lucky enough, I found out about these awards in 2014, and so I spent all year trying to make sure I build up an audience, because I wanted to build a good campaign and see if I can compete to earn a finalist position, because the voting just went by whoever, if you had fans that wanted to vote for you, you can become a finalist. And that's how that happened. As I had my fans, when the time was right, they sent their votes in, and I was lucky enough to be one of the finalists among people like Hannibal Buress and Mindy Kaling from the Mindy Project. That's incredibly humble to me, being amongst those people.
And tell us a little bit about your reaction. I think it was a harder in 2016 to become like noticed by that particular comedy award, whatever the board of directors or whoever decided on that. So you had a unique solution and you created your own type of award. Tell us about that.
Yes, I was very unhappy with how I've been promoting the Shorty Awards and how amazing the opportunity was for people to get noticed there. And when they started their awards this year, they took the voting away from the public. So now the they were the only ones that were allowed to pick the nominees for each category, and then the public would only vote for those people. But for me, on Periscope, I thought after 1 year anniversary of Periscope being an amazing thing, where is their opportunity to get noticed? They had the Periscoper of the Year award, but there could have been so many other people in that category for Periscoper of the Year. So I decided to make something a little fun called the Koopy Awards that took off really quickly. We were really surprised about this. In 4 days, when people, we started making little categories on our website for each thing. And then all of a sudden, it got, in less than a week, it got almost over 100,000 hits on the website. I was so blown away. So we had fun with those, and we did the Koopy Awards on April 2nd. The best things in Periscope, from best beard to best comedian,
best redneck, I think
the biggest redneck was the category. So we had a lot of fun this year, and if they wanted to do it again next year, then I'd be more than happy to bring the Koopy Awards back to Periscope.
And there was even a meetup at some point where some of your friends and you got together. I think that you broadcast part of the ceremony, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, absolutely. That we all met up at the Abbotsford Motel, where Yuck Yucks was actually performing there, so we all went to a comedy club show after too. It was really cool. So we were just in a hotel room, and a giant screen. We were just promoting these Periscope Awards, and it was like eight people, and you know, everybody had a blast, and we had almost 3,000 viewers for the event. So that's something that, you know,
for a first time event, that's pretty remarkable numbers, really.
And it's something that I took for fun. It's like there were awards that people are getting that are made by the sponsor who helped out for the paying for the awards, but I just wanted to help people get noticed somehow, because a young guy like me, I've gone through it, and I want to give that opportunity back to others.
Well, we've come to the end of tonight's broadcast for one more Saturday. You've been listening to from 8 to 10 p.m. every Saturday evening, the best in Afro-Cuban music, salsa, Latin jazz, timba, and Cuban son with the Latin Train. My name is DJ Maikito, and I want to say thank you once again to Cooper Harrison, alias Coop the Comedian, for his kindness in coming to the show and being present and telling us a little bit about his own personal story in the comedy and podcasting fields. Thank you, Cooper, for being with us here on the Latin Train.
Thank you so much, Mikey, for having me on as a guest.
Don't forget that you can follow him at Verified Coop and at Coop's, at Coop's Podcast, as well as
Coop's Podcast.
Coop's Corner.info. There we go. And you can write me directly, latintrain@yahoo.com, if you want to get any more information. I can send you those links to Cooper's Twitter handles directly, or to get the archive link to re-listen to this particular broadcast of the Latin Train and share it with your friends and family, whether they're fans of Latin music or of comedy. And you can follow us every week, live tweeting our playlists at Latin Train Radio and at CHUO Music.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much to Latin Train Radio for having me on as a special guest on their radio station. It was an absolute pleasure being back in Ottawa and being around a similar feeling in a radio booth. I used to do a radio station back in Fredericton, New Brunswick, at the University of Fredericton, New Brunswick. And I love doing it. I think it's a great thing what volunteers do. Going out there and want to try and get their name out there. And congratulations to the Latin Train, who has been celebrating 19 years on the air. So that is a fantastic accomplishment, especially doing it for 19 years. So thank you very much, everybody, for joining in. And thank you very much, everybody, for listening to that interview. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. I do know that the audio quality is not as good as it should be. If you want to go listen to the good quality, make sure you go check out chuo.fm, and the link is actually under my Twitter account, or if you go to my Facebook page, which all you do is just type in Coop the Comedian and Facebook, you should be able to find my one of my pages there. And the link for the archived episodes should be able to listen to. And you can listen to all the fantastic music that the Latin Train has to offer when it comes to Latin jazz, Cuban salsa. It's just an amazing channel. And I have no problem listening to that kind of music for a couple hours. especially, you know, once in a while, if you got nothing else to listen to, if you want something different to listen to, definitely something that you guys should check out. So that's it for this episode of Coop's Corner Podcast. We will be back as soon as maybe in a few weeks or something like that. I know I've been taking my time with making new episodes, but listen, I'm not ready to release new episodes of Coop's Corner Podcast yet because I'm still trying to revamp everything. I'm trying to re-image what my website looks like. I'm trying to re-image what my logos look like. I want to re-image Coop's Corner again. You know, once a year, you gotta step back, have an off-season to do all this stuff. So in the meantime, just make sure you go check out my YouTube page. I would love for all my podcasters to start subscribing to me on YouTube. I would love to reach 1,000 subscribers so I can get paid more on YouTube. And make sure you go check out the recent videos that we have been posting on YouTube. Caitlin Drummond Photography has made a fantastic HD version of some of my jokes that people know me from. Everybody knows me for my period joke. So finally we got that in HD quality. So make sure you go check us out. Coopscorner.info is the place to be. And until next time, everybody, have a great day.